Blog Talk Radio.
Ligament between her kneecap and her muscle
that muscle, that top muscle, which they had to remove it and put in three screws with a cadaver ligament. So she has smiles. She's kind-hearted right now. She's excited, and she wants to say thank you all that's supporting her and ask you to continue to support her with prayer. And she won't be on the show for the next 2 weeks because she got to work herself back. So we want to make sure we recognize one of our co-hosts and let her know that we love her because she's a great part of our team. Again, Talking Sports Plus is provide this vehicle as well as the voice of historical black colleges, universities, high school, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. And we're so excited to be that vehicle to do that. You know, through this opportunity, we're sharing some things of what our passion is, with our passion in sports, myself as well as the co-host. Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. And if you want to be a part of this show by sharing your thoughts about your school that's in each division as well as Power 5 and Group of 5, you can do the same thing by calling in, pressing 1, then I will identify you with the last 4 digits of your telephone number, cell number, then ask you to join us by giving us your name and your location. All right, I'm so excited about having this opportunity, and I know my team members are as well. You know, we don't have the rights to the music we play to start off the show, but we do bring you some positive music. It's doing your own thing, and that's what we're all about. That was Talk Sports is all about, plus it's doing your own thing. All right, let me start off by introducing this young man. And he hails from South Alabama, just north of North Florida. He runs from Dothan to up, and from up to Montgomery, from Montgomery down to Troy, and all over the state of Alabama. Our radio personality, the coach of the airwaves, Darryl E. Train Elliott. How you doing, Darryl?
I'm very good. In fact, I'm sitting pretty. I got the king to thank for getting my betting right for the weekend. It is just a marvelous day in the USA. I'm just like Don King, waving the damn flag. Let's go.
Let's make it happen. Thank you, Darryl. We appreciate that. Now, this other young man, you know, recently he took a new plateau. He stepped to a whole different plateau. He decided to say, after all these years, I'm going to call it retirement. He's a good man. He's known for, you know, take the day and don't let the day take you. None other than our newest retiree. Happy to have him in the club. Coach Tony Stallworth, how you doing, Tony?
I'm here. And somebody called me the other day and said, what does retirement mean? I said, if it means you don't work unless you want to. So I'm here. Hey, Darryl, I heard Darryl say something about Don King, and then I looked here and I said, wait a minute now, he's also the E-Train man, and then the coach man of the South. I wonder how many names you got there. How many do you have?
Identify they call me the Don King of drag racing. You know that. They call me the Don King of entertainment. They call me the Don King of it all. And I passed my last name King to the King in North Alabama.
Yeah. All right.
I say Arvin because he gave me one too. I'm TD Touchdown. Sorry. Sorry.
That's right. Touchdown Tony Stallworth. That's the one we're going to add as well. Guys, it's good to have you. The team is here. We're not at 4-4, as I stated earlier at the start of the show about Lauren. And like I said, we get a chance, make sure we holler at her because I know she listened to the show. She said she's going to make sure she listened if she hadn't fell it. Sleep yet because they gave her some strong medication, some narcotics to knock out. But see, her surgery went well. Thank you for all y'all prayers. And we do appreciate Talking Sports Plus that you love us just like we love you. Say, ain't nothing you can do about it. We love you. All right, guys.
We continue to pray for speedy recovery.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I think she hear you and she's not able to talk, but she, and when I say she hear you, meaning that she has a phone on and her sister is probably the one listening and telling her. They talk about you, Lauren, so it's all good, and I know she appreciated Uncle Tony. Uncle Tony Stallworth. That's what they call him. So it's awesome. It's awesome. I'm excited. We're going to have an exciting night. So if you want to be a part of this, if you want to just just press 1. You know, if you can call in 347-857-4192, press 1, and I'll identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number and let you join in the conversation. Tell us your name, your location. And, you know, we're all excited, always excited to have callers in. We have callers on the line, but if you want to share your thoughts about the topics we're going to talk about tonight. And we got some great topics tonight. The log is full. And the title of the show is Wonderful World of Football. We've been waiting for football. And there's certain things I want to start off with, but you know what? I'm going to take some leaps and bounds. And I was hoping the King would be with us. And he said he'll check back a little bit later. He's kind of running behind on some time, but he wants to be here with us, so he'll call in. But I'll start off with historical black colleges, universities storyline. That was three teams or four teams or four classics that happened during the Labor Day weekend. And we'll start off with the Labor Day classic between Alabama State University and Tuskegee University. Guys, share your thoughts on that.
I thought Alabama State University did a great job panicking in that game. I think Tuskegee came out with the confidence of owning the stadium, which the article most of them read going in. Alabama State University has to fix some things, but to be able to, I say this respectfully, and able to fix some things have to break down. And that's all about, Dr. Smith, you've been down there, it's all about going back, looking at films and seeing where the loopholes were. But to be able to withstand those things that break down and continue to compete is what I like the most about them in this game. And, you know, the head coach said, and I said this last week, that irregardless to the strength and weak, irregardless to the outcome of the game, they were going to compete by what he thought was the best thing that they had going this year was the passing game. And I thought the quarterback was very poised. You know, I thought that he continued to put pressure on Giga's defensive front. He allowed this team an opportunity to compete throughout the whole contest. And if that's what Alabama State University is going to do throughout the regular season, then they're going to have a chance to compete down the road. So I thought it was a very good classic. I think one thing you got to look at when the Labor Day Classic is you got so many things that are out there. You got people in the same homes that might be separated by the two universities. The two universities are so close together. There's a whole lot of collaboration, inner city, because Montgomery provides entertainment, industry, et cetera, along the way. And, of course, Tuskegee benefits as well. So with all that being said, the harmony was there, as always, and a very, very fine performance by the university. Nothing perfect. No games are perfect. I watched the Alabama game, wasn't perfect. But there were some of those things that did not happen. Can be fixed, and when you're victorious, you feel good about fixing them. That's my take on that.
You know, I want to say this about guys: the rivalry. The rivalry has brought such a tremendous fervor to the city every year. It did. It did the university some good. It did the football team some good. It did Tuskegee some good to just lose the game for a chance. It changed the dynamicism of it all, and everybody's now looking forward to next year. Can they pull this off again for the Labor Day Classic? You know, Tony is also right. I love Tony. Statistically speaking, Alabama State University needed this more than anything this year. They needed this. So by way of the stadium, by way of the home field advantage, by way of the win-loss column, by way of the revenue. They needed the whole rivalry of the build-up. The city needed it. It was perfect in every single way. Like I said, like Tony said, there were some holes in the games that got to be fixed, but that's not the point. In my mind, the point is that Alabama State University needed that. That's my take on it. Oh, wait, one more thing, Coach. One more thing.
All right. All right.
I did get paid. I got paid. That's the main thing. Go ahead.
What I'm talking about.
That's what it's about.
Another wound was repaired, too, because going into that contest, the university was, had a little bit of a blemish on it because of the incident that occurred previously with the high school event. Because out of all that, I know I didn't see one article that said MPS. It always said Alabama State University. And to repair that, it showed that the university, under its jurisdiction in its contest, controlled or have controlled, because with all of that going on for that university for 3 nights and especially the day of, and there was no outbreaks, goes to show that there's control, appreciation, and should I say, a comfort zone for the events that happen at the university. So I hope that that showed that, you know, the MPS, and along with a collaboration with the university, is going to repair the high school as well. That's gonna be something that's gonna be wrecked with. But I'm just glad that that Band-Aid now has been taken off the university, especially from one of the biggest contests or events in HBCU at Alabama State University campus.
Absolutely. Let me do this. Let me introduce our third co-host. He just joined us. I told you he could be joining. From the north part of Alabama, he reigns up there in Huntsville, Alabama. And he's always got him on the run up there. He said, ain't no fun when a rabbit got a gun. Coach Tremaine Edwards, let us hear from you.
How y'all doing tonight? Got some hot topics, baby. Hot topics. My prediction
King.
True this weekend.
Hey, King, I want you to make a wish, and I'll send it to you in the mail. Go ahead.
Hey, that's it.
I was at the tailgate on Saturday, and somebody came up to me and tapped me on my shoulder, and I turned around, and it was my god sister, and she said, be careful how you handle Tremaine on the air. I hear what you say. don't be handling my baby like that.
I know his mama.
Well, I've been warned.
That's all right. I tell you. Coach Trey, you're coming in here. We was just talking about the Labor Day clash between Alabama State and Tuskegee University. We want you to share your thoughts on it and I'll come and kind of round it up. We'll move to the other two or three classes that we're on this weekend. Matter of fact, we have a call on the line. I don't know whether she's going to jump in here, but her school was also in participation in the MEAC versus the SWAC challenge in Atlanta, Georgia. Coach Edwards, what do you have to say in regards to the Labor Day class?
I'm just thankful that Alabama State came through to make my predictions. Well, I didn't predict the exact score, but I did predict Alabama State to win that game. They pulled through, and they got through. They kind of tricked me, though. Play that they were reviewing when Tuskegee scored, and the boy knocked the ball out the back of the end zone, I think, Dr. Smith. Is that what happened?
Yes, correct. Correct.
So, you know, on the phone, they had us already 26. It was 26-13, I think, at the time. So I said, oh, Lord, State gave it away. But, you know, somehow they reversed the call and gave Alabama State a chance, man. So our predictions came through, man. So Alabama State, y'all keep on rolling, man. I need y'all to roll until October, baby.
I think you're going to say that. But you know what? You use that word trick, right? I heard you said trick. We ain't too tricky. Wait till you get to you. You're going to be
hey. Hey. Star Wars. It's in my blood. I ain't going to lie. I'm a bad bulldog to the day I die, Star Wars.
I like for a man to go down with his pride.
Hey, Star Wars, I'm gonna tell you, I heard a whole lot of Kiki in here when I announced the A&M score now. Stalwart, when I said they were going to win, it was a lot of giggling and laughing.
Hey, everybody talking about Miles Cotter. Keep going.
Okay.
Keep going.
Okay. Okay.
All right. And I like the conversation. That's what we talk about, Wonderful Wednesday. And talk about the wonderful world of football. And that's what we're talking about. You call in and be a part of this, 347-857-4192. Press 1. And I identify the last four digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I ask you to join the conversation. But we also ask that you give your name and your location. Let me kind of run down a few stats with that game. And I was there as well, sitting. I enjoyed the festivity outside. That country was great. And I was glad to see 26,222 people meet in the seat. It was exciting to see that stadium filled to its capacity. Probably could have had a few more people there, but it was good. Good festive atmosphere, and I applaud both universities for doing the exciting things they did from last weekend. Now, let's look at some things that is important. We're going to look at a couple stats here. We're going to applaud ASU for, as Coach Edwards said, bouncing back from thinking of possibly being down 26-13 to being 20-13, and eventually being able to score the tie the game and take the game into overtime, where that defense played a whole different overtime, where in essence they was giving up a lot of yards in the beginning, but they managed to kind of shut things down. Tuskegee helped them in a sense with penalties. He shot himself in the foot, and they did a couple, had a false start, they had a illegal substitution, and then they had a 15-yard penalty, and then they had the field goal block in overtime, and ASU received the ball first play. Ezra Gray sprinted 30 yards to go ahead and clinch the victory for Alabama State. The final score was 26-20, and Alabama State got the keys back because I saw the president, she dropped him off in the president of Alabama State University hand, Dr. Quentin Ross, and said, "You can have your keys back, at least for this year." And some other stats, Darrell Pearson, the quarterback, 15-24, 164 yards, one touchdown, about 75 yards on a slant route. For Tuskegee, Jamarcus Ezell, 13-19, 163 yards, one touchdown, and he threw two interceptions. So it was an exciting game. So we're glad to have that class back. But let me throw a little wrinkle at y'all for 2019. I was reading some paperwork today, and I try to read all the sports as I can. There was a contract signed between Alabama State and University of Alabama Birmingham to be played on August the 29th up in Birmingham, up there at Legion Field. Alabama State to get $300,000 guaranteed and get 40% of the gate. Now, think about August 29th of 2019. Labor Day is September the 2nd, if I believe, or September the 1st or 2nd or something like that. I mean, the 3rd or something like that. So that means what's happened to the Labor Day Classic if you're going to play UAB on August 29th and then expect to play the weekend? You can't do that because that's a Thursday game. So that's some conversation. Everybody wants to know when they're going to play Tuskegee. Are they going to play up next year? Are they going to skip a year and go to the next year? I know it's a 4-year contract. That's something that we can find out more and talk about it, but I want to throw that out there because the pageantry and the festivity was there, and we're excited to have the opportunity to have that, but we may not have it next year on Labor Day. So we're going to look into that, and we're going to bring you that information. Now, you heard this on Talking Sports Plus, and we brought it to you first. Well, we're excited about it. Yeah, you may have seen it in Facebook. We brought it live. Go ahead, brother.
Dr. Smith, to add to that, we went a long time by not even having the Tuskegee Iowa State University rivalry and the revenue that was lost between both universities for several years. And to come back and bring that back to the table, it shows that it doesn't matter when you put Alabama State and Tuskegee together, as long as they play, you can call it whatever you want to, whatever kind of classic, you can call it the Pig Classic. But when you start talking about getting $300,000, and thank God for Quentin Ross, and Derek can attest to this as well. $200,000 is now. Everything else can be scheduled when? Later. So we can get back to that because that's a business decision.
and I want to say this. that may bring back, and it may, I don't know, but it just may bring back the Turkey Day Classic next year.
Could be.
Yeah, could be. But let me say, I want to say this, if you don't mind. I'd like to get a side note on something, because it's been a whole lot of talk on social media about Alabama State playing Auburn. That's coming up. Am I right, man?
Yeah.
Yes,
Saturday
sir.
Night.
Saturday. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. And so a lot of talk on that, as well as Troy University playing FAMU this weekend. And the thing about it is none of the bands were contracted to come and play for these particular games. And there's a lot of upset people who would otherwise buy tickets just to go see a Bama State band or a FAMU band go up against a D1 college band and show them up in the fashion that, you know, HBCUs do on the field when it comes to their band. And so the conversation blended itself into, of course, the finance of it all. And I'm sorry, Dr. Swift, to move in this, but I just would like to know your thoughts on it as to why a D1 college would not employ the entire band or the band at all to come play for a game that, you know, black people would love to see, that you know, the students, the alumni would love to see the pageantry of that.
Well, I can say this. I remember going to attend it last time that FAMU came to Troy University, and that was a time when Troy University didn't have the renovation of the stadium. And I remember sitting on the green, almost sliding down on the grass. FAMU came in there, and they put that band on that field with that 400+, and they covered the whole field. You couldn't see anything. I think what happens, Darryl, and I want to say this respectfully, because I try to make sure that with listeners being that I don't say anything to take away from the flavor of where we're going with this, is you got two different types of clientele in attendance. If you look at Troy University, the biggest clientele in Troy University is going to be, you know, the Caucasian population. They the flavor in which they are used to and which they invite is what their home band provides. When you bring in 400+ from FAMU and come in there and just take all of that away, that's a little bit, it's nice for the population of us that are in there, if you use that term, but it's a little bit in opposition to those that are in high spectator category. Now, and I heard this too, because I did a research, that FAMU went ahead and offered to come at a price of $40,000. I don't know how true that is, but that's a good way of being turned down. You can see that. And I also heard that Alabama State University may be considering going to Auburn. So that might be some things that our listeners can listen to and kind of develop an attitude of, okay, I understand now.
Ms. Stallworth, let me say this.
Yes.
Every school and every college that travels with football to take their band, there is a great expense for that band to travel. $40,000. Yes, $40,000 don't even begin to cover of D1 college band. So my thing is every band has an expense. I just feel like, in my mind and in my opinion, that they should have brought that whole band. They should have brought the whole band. It just should have brought the whole band. They should have brought everybody. Because they're not going to sell as many tickets as they would by having that band not there. They're gonna have a loss in ticket sales there. That's for sure. I can guarantee you that. But more than anything, I understand the gamble of it. I understand. Me personally, I would never put Alabama State with an Auburn or a FAMU with a Troy University. Why? Because they have a chance of hurting their players and hurting themselves in their own comfort, just for the sake of getting that paycheck. And that's another conversation that no we can have. But anyway, I just feel like, in my opinion, they should have went on and stepped ahead and made sure that HBCU was represented in the fullest in those type of games. I turn it back to you, Dr. Smith.
And that's one of the things that's been discussed. But one of the things these major universities as well as I'll be honest, university on the historical black college level, as a level of Southern University, have over 10,000 plus students, but besides that, have alumni base the largest in the country. A lot of those schools sell out all of their tickets on both sides of the field. They sell them out. However, their custom in the SEC, and I'll say this, and I don't know how it is in the Sun Belt, is that only allow what they call a pep band to come, whether it's from Mississippi State or whoever it may be, in a game at a home venue. So they're just not allowed. They got a certain space for them, and they only set aside so many seats. Now, I'm not saying this is the total answer, but this is something that has come up before, and they have a certain place, and that's what every SEC team, they do that. They allow them to play a pep band, not a full band. And I think one of the things, and I'm not sure exactly what was the thinking, and knowing that Alabama State would have an entertainment that's none like anybody else, and for a band that's been invited to the Rose Bowl parade to participate, you would like to have them in your stadium to just showcase that you are more diverse than everybody thinks you are. But that is one of the things they do in the SEC about on a line, what they call a pep band to come to each one of those games. I can't say about the ACC or the Big Ten, but I've seen that before, even with LSU and other schools coming into that stadium, because they do sell their seats and they sell them to the point that, you know, they can choose and direct how they're paying you. Now, that might not be the correct answer that we want to hear, but that's something they've been working on, and they tried to address. I'm talking about Alabama State saying that they were willing to do whatever they need to do just to come bring their band. So I think they extended the seats a little bit more so they could bring their band. But they was also trying to allow them, wanted them to pay for those seats at $32 per, beyond a pep size band. If you bring 400, you pep band is 100. They say you had to pay that additional money. So that's something the ASU wants to do and come. So we'll see how it turns out, but I'll be there Saturday and hope you're there. Put your meat in the seats in Auburn University and see Alabama State takes on Auburn University. Now, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. All right, let's move to Alabama Ed Young. And the king is on the hill. Give us a report, King. We're going to talk a little bit about Alabama Ed Young. Smashing miles. Talk to the king.
Yes, glad to report for you, Dr. Smith. The Bulldogs look great, man. 180 turnaround from last year. Defensively, Miles didn't get past the 50-yard line. Offensively, we went up and down the field. I think Alabama A&M could have scored at least 50 points on Miles. They played three quarterbacks. Akil Glass, which is the first quarterback, he went straight up and down the field on Miles. I don't know if this, the SIAC is weak this year, but we took it to Miles. Rushing yardage, running back for A&M had 120 yards on rushing. We look good, Dr. Smith. Defensively, we got a big-time defensive end. Last name, Bethune, Yurick Bethune. That's his name, Yurick Bethune. He won SWAC Defensive Player of the Week this week for the SWAC. He's big time, Dr. Smith. He lived in the backfield this game. I think he had three sacks this game. So we got something to look forward to. Looking forward to the game this week versus UNA. We play University of North Alabama. Should be a big game. Should be a packed house. We have a lot of North Alabama alumni here in Huntsville too. So it should be a very packed game, home game for Alabama A&M at 6 o'clock. That's all I got now this morning.
Awesome. Well, I just had some stats since he was running the stats, and then the co-host can jump in here too as well. Glass threw two touchdowns, 1,185 yards, had one interception, so it was like none stopping. The final score was 37-0. Alabama A&M 37-0. All right, let's move to Prairie View A&M versus North Carolina Central. The MEAC and the SWAC Challenge in Atlanta. Any thoughts about that game? The final score was 40-24. Prairie View won. If you remember, a week before, Prairie View almost beat Rice. It took an overtime win for Rice to beat Prairie View. All right, what y'all think about that team? What are we looking at with Prairie View, A&M, and Alabama State so far?
You want me to
I sat up and watched that game. Prairie View offense looks very explosive. North Carolina Central started late. They kind of got started late. I think they was down 21-3, Dr. Smith? Started moving, period. Prairie View just jumped out in front of them. North Carolina Central don't look bad. Got a lot of D1 transfers on that team, too. But the Prairie View Panthers, that's Prairie View Panthers, ain't it, Dr. Smith? They the Panthers.
Correct. Prairie View,
yeah, they pulled.
Yes,
Prairie View and them Panthers pulled it out, man. They look good, represented for the SWAC very well.
Okay. All right, we got a call on the line, and we want her to jump right in. And go see the North Carolina Central alumnus, and that's she'll introduce herself. She has a last four digits of 0026.
Well, that's me. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Black,
you all did a lot of trash talking last Wednesday, so I had to call in. I thought that my school, my alma mater, did really well. They got off to a slow start, and Prairie View did jump out really quick. But that third quarter belonged to the Eagles. And I think if it hadn't been for that interception, the pass that was dropped, the guy dropped it, the pass, when he almost intercepted it, I think it might have been an even different outcome. But I thought that we were grounded, and I thought that we grind that third quarter and really got back into that game and didn't let it get ahead of us until the very end. And I also want to say I hope and pray that Coach Lauren continues to recover.
Awesome. That is awesome. We do. Lauren, get back on top of it. Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you, Scarlett. We thank you very much for jumping in there all the time. We appreciate you. All right, Coach Thorne.
Yeah, y'all doing a lot
Thorne,
of keep.
Thorne, you hear? I know you hear that.
Yeah. she said a whole lot of trash talking was going on last week. So,
yeah, y'all did. You know, that was the anniversary, but, you know, I understand that. But you all really had a lot of whooped it up, key, but, you know, wait till you get to the other stats, because I won those other games like that you all said we were going to win, but we won.
You're going to be
okay.
All right.
Okay. Call them out. That's all right. That's what it's all about, Talking Sports Plus. We're excited. We always say we get a little laugh and we're enjoying ourselves over here, but it's been exciting. It's an outstanding weekend for the historical black colleges and universities with their Labor Day classes, and we got better things to come, and we want to share that news with you through this vehicle. We also want to share there's a couple games of the week. We have Tennessee State versus Jackson State over there in Memphis at 6 o'clock. Tennessee State is 1-0, and Jackson State is 0-1, and that's 6 o'clock over the Liberty Bowl, so that's going to be outstanding. Then we got FAMU down there at Troy, and remember we talked about that, and that's going to be on ESPN at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time. That's ESPN Plus. So we look forward to seeing those exciting games going on this weekend. But now we want to vault into our high school. We're going to talk a little bit about the high schools. And one of the things is that we want to look at some of the headline games of the week, and I want y'all to share your thoughts in your area, wherever you are in the southeastern part of the United States, call in 347-857-4192. Then press 1, then I identify you, the last 4 digits, and ask you to jump in with your thoughts. And whatever it is you want to address with us, we're ready to get at you. We're ready to go at it. We're ready to have a ball. Anything on our high school level.
Friday, showdown from last week.
Let's go. Okay.
Top-ranked team facing its replacement. You know who that is, don't you? Hoover lost.
Yeah, Hoover. Yeah.
Thompson. Yeah, now Thompson, number one for the first time in football rankings in a long time. They're going to replace Hoover now. And this is going to be one of the biggest games of the South, Central, East, West, and North. Don't get fooled. And don't get lost because Hoover got beat at home 42-14. As Darryl said, let me give you a statistic. They lost to St. John, which is the top-ranked team in the District of Columbia. Now, you know what, Josh? You know what, Josh? Nothing in his mind is about that.
Mm-hmm.
They may come in here and do this, but ain't nobody else going to
do it.
Exactly.
They
lost last year and came back and won the state championship. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's something special about Hoover, and it's going to be something special about this game. We know the situation about the quarterback, but that is a two-way quarterback situation now. It ain't just Tua. Did I get it right this time, Dr. Smith?
Tua brother, yeah.
Right.
Tua. You're right. You're right.
But you also got another quarterback on the rise, and he showed that in game one against Brother Nix. So it's going to be, I'm going to tell you something, it's going to be something very special with that. But to move on, the other two chains at the top is Class 2A Scythe moves to the top spot because Leroy lost 34-7 to Central Nail. Don't get that misconstrued. Central Nail is three classes higher than Leroy. So everybody is coming for what? Regional play. Now, in Class 1A, Lynette, Tremaine, should have been projected to be number one all the time, but they're holding the number one spot because Sweetwater lost to Thomasville. Don't get that misconstrued. So Thomasville is up four classes of Sweetwater. So what I'm saying all is to say this. All those losses that were made in those number one spots were major victories. Well, major loss because they lost to a higher class opponent.
Right.
So I think we're looking at some great things going on coming up this week. And, of course, I might want to throw this in, too. If you look down there, Enterprise is 2-0 now. Ooh, been a long time, Dr. Smith, since that been, ain't it?
Oh, yes.
And Prattville is 2-0, Amps. Prattville
is going to
put a little bit of – Prattville going to put a little bit of click in the inner city now. Prattville been on the dough mat, and Enterprise been on the dough mat. But now you're looking at Lanier, and you're looking at what? Jeff Davis now don't have those victories that they can say they can what? They may get now. So that's my take as it is in high school coming up this week. Great games there now, especially the Hoover and Thompson.
Awesome. Also, the kind of add to the rankings. I looked at the poll today. Wheat Tonka is ranked number one in the, if I'm not mistaken, is it 6A? If I'm not mistaken, Wheat Tonka is up there ranked number one. But they tied for 12th in the Power 25, as well as Leah Montgomery is ranked 8th in 7A, and they 17 on the Power status, the Power 25. So those are some of those teams. Any other teams you want to kind of share some thoughts before we go to other states? So we have three other states. We're going to share some rankings from each one of those states.
Might want to add that, Harvard is not even being mentioned in honorable mention, and they 2-0. I think that's going to be something good for Carver to stay under the dome mat going into regional play. Hillcrest Evergreen down in Evergreen lost a good one for last week. They came back and won, but they lost a quarterback in place. Another first place winner that remained is Class 4A USM Wright. Georgiana didn't look good to me last week against Laverne, but Laverne looked real good. They moved up to number two there. And so we got some football. Brantley, it's quiet down there in Beantown. But they are right at number six. But got some heat coming down later on. Let me tell you why. Elba is no longer 2A or 3A. They come down every 2 years, look like. They're 1A now. Mm-hmm. So Brandon got Elba and Georgiana both to face. So down in the South, I'll be keeping up on that. It's going to be some good football down here. But as I said a long time ago, as Tupac said there, I mean, you can say, that's just the way it is.
All right. Touchdown, Tony. Coach Edwards, you up there in North Alabama. You got any thoughts about those teams making things happen up there? They rallying some chains up there. Who rallying the chains up there?
No chains have been rattled up here, Dr. Smith. Everybody's up here as mediocre as it can get. Madison Academy got caught in that competition thing, so they probably got 300 kids, but they got them up in 5A. So they done. So when it comes to a 3A team, a team that dominated 3A, and they moved up to 5A because of the what is it? Start with the competition, the competition level that they play on. You know what I'm talking about? Start with of a private school.
Private school.
Start with not there, yep. But the Madison Academy moved up from 3A to 5A.
Yeah. Go ahead on
Trey.
Starworth, what's the competition rule about the private schools right now?
Oh, let me explain that to you.
Go ahead.
It's called competitive balance. It's called competitive balance put in place because let's go back a little bit. Private schools were always classified what we call a number ratio, meaning their student population were counted 2-1 or 3-1 versus public schools being one. So therefore, every two students they have may be double when it comes to total number of schools they have from 9 to 12, so that upped their classification. That was put in place because private school has another advantage. I don't want to use the term recruiting, but they have an advantage because students can come there and, of course, pay tuition and be allowed to go to school there. Competitive balance was put in place because the other system that was in place seems to be an overriding advantage to some of the private schools, whereas private schools can go out and get that very best quarterback, very best linebacker, very best running back, and it can make a difference if they are playing in a public school with just a normal classification. In other words, if you got a 4A team in private school versus a 4A school in public school, it don't necessarily mean that that's going to be a what we call a balance when it comes to student ratio or talent-wise, because they have the autonomy of getting some of the very best players in a city to come there because they can come there and pay tuition. So evaluation was made through a committee to look at the overall championship that has been won with private schools over the last X number of years. I don't want to get into this too in depth. I want to just give you a look at this. So when you look at a graph, you look at certain schools have won championships 10 out of the last 12 years. So now you're saying, okay, since they have an advantage of getting the elite athlete in their cities because they can pay to reach them there, then let's put in a competitive balance to kind of weed this out. Meaning if they win a certain amount of championships consecutively in X number of years, let's say 2 years, which is going to the classification period, then they can be moved up. Not necessarily in all sports, but in the sports that were what? Where they win in the championships. So in other words, a school A in private school that has been winning X number of championships, I don't want to use names, in football, mm-hmm. could be to 5A now, even though they're in 4A, but just in that sport. So that's what the competitive balance is, trying to give a balance back to make sure that's some equivalent when it comes to public school playing against private school under the same age as an umbrella. Does that make sense?
Awesome. Yep.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what I needed.
Awesome.
But up here we have Lee Huntsville versus Jemison High School on tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. That's the big-time rivalry up here, equivalent to the Carver-Lanier rivalry in Montgomery. So it's going to be rocking up here tomorrow night.
That's great. That's great. And Carver's
going to spank a little.
Okay. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's gonna be it's a different story this year. So we're
gonna
applaud each and every one of those schools.
And
yes, sir. And just said to them, you know, congratulations and be successful as they move forward. Go ahead, on.
We might want to go see that tomorrow night.
that would be a good
good
game to see. Yeah.
Hold on. Right. That is your alma mater, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Lanier, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay. I just
want to
make sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, let's kind of move on and move to some of these other states. We got the state of Florida. Their top 10 football poll for this past week in our class. 8A, you have Miami, Christopher Columbus, which is 1-0. Fort Lauderdale, St. Aquinas. You have Sumner, Armwood in the 6A, 7A was Fort Lauderdale, Belglaise Central, and they are 5A, Jacksonville Bolies, which is 4A, Delray American Heritage, which is down in South Florida, a 3A, Jupiter Christian, South Florida 2A, then you have Bratt Northview over in the 1A. In the state of Georgia, you have Colquitt County, there are the 7A, top team, 6A top team, 5A you have Lee County, 4A, 7A, 6A, 5A, Rome, you have 4A, Blessed Trinity, and in 3A you have Calhoun, and in the 1A public you have Clinch County. In South Carolina, I know my sister's on here, Black. I know you can count. We could pull out a top five team over there in South Carolina, the high school team. You have T.L. Hannah Anderson, Dutch Dillon.
Dutch Fort.
Dutch Fort. And you have Fort Dorchester, Northern Charleston. And is that Byers Duncan? And they are the top five teams. Can you tell me a little thing about those teams?
Can't tell you much because I'm Greenville County all the way.
Okay.
And Hillcrest High School, Hillcrest has been doing very well.
Okay, Hillcrest. Okay, that'll work. So we have Hillcrest. We're going to add as one of those teams our focus in South Carolina. They're going to keep an eye out for. So those are the schools in the South Carolina High School Power Ranking. I just pulled five. There are others. There's 25 of them. I only pulled the top five. We'll touch on some each week, three or four of each week, because the rankings do change. All right, fellas, let's kind of quickly get to our coach's corner. And we was talking about violence. Coach Starr started the show off talking about how positive it was at Alabama State University. The question I have is, how do we address the violence in high school and college football when it's happening at the games? For example, the shooting at Alabama State, dealing with a public high school kickoff classic in Montgomery, as well as the altercation that occurred last Friday night, if I'm not mistaken, between the coaches as well as the players between Park Crossing and Jeff Davis. Then we had an altercation over there between Lanier and Lee, students at Crompton Bowl. Then we had Miami, the University of Miami, in battle before the game with LSU. And then throughout the preseason, the NFL, when they teams are matched up and practice together, you had altercation. How do we address this violence? We're going to take a few minutes to talk about it. We don't have all the answers but want to talk about it. Won't you be a part of it? 347-857-4192. You can join us. T, what do you think about how we dress some of the violence? Yes, go ahead.
I'm gonna keep it plain. For the children, it's home training. Charity starts at home, then goes abroad. We got to teach our children not to be fools out in the street. We're in a police state world now. They see this violence everywhere, and they think it's okay. We've lost respect for authority. Our children have, not all of them, but a large cluster of them have lost authority, respect for authority, and they go out and they become disrespectful. I see children now who are respectful at home and a completely different person when they're away from their parents. So something has gone very wrong with the influence of our children. As far as college, University of Miami, LSU, foolishness is foolishness anywhere you go. When it comes down to pros, I really don't know what the pros think. To me, I think the testosterone is way too high and they have to release it somewhere. But our children are just phenomenally becoming not all of them, but some of these children have become a failure to themselves. The parents have failed them, the system has failed them, and they are out there with no leadership whatsoever and just running crazy. That's my two cents. Go ahead, guys.
I agree with, I was going to jump in to say that I agree with some of what you said, quite a bit of it, really. My phone keeps going in and out, so I don't know what's wrong tonight, but it's the culture, and I think that the same way we teach the game plays, the plays of the game in the locker room and the coaching staff and things of this nature, but when you see people like at Ohio State and just a slight knock on the wrist, and that's about it, you know, for what happened there. This is what's happening now throughout this country. And I say this about every week, you know, when I call in, it's going to start with the culture. In the same way that you teach the young men how to go out there and play the game, you need to also be teaching them how to play the game of life. But the folks in that culture, start with along with the coaches and everyone associated with that culture, need to be saying the same thing. I got to give credit to Dabo Swinney and his staff at Clemson University. That culture has really, it's outstanding there, because not only are they teaching students how to play the game and how to be winners, they're also trying to teach how to be gracious when you're losing. And that's the thing that I think that we've lost a lot of places, but in folks that sit in there, the program's really grown, and we're getting outstanding recruits coming into the program because not only of the winning philosophy, but the culture of being a winning person behind it is also being taught. And I think that we're going to have to get that throughout this country. But when you see Ohio State and what happened there, and the coach doesn't seem to no big deal, you know, the leader permeates it down to everybody else.
Awesome.
Okay. Well, what we have here is disparity. You got to look at major college football and professional sport as opposed to high school, even though we have the same number of problems. When I was a part of my last ride in the public school system, I told everybody, I said, you got to deal with the uniformity status in order to identify or put your student athlete into a situation to feel that they are part of something. Everybody became argumentative. What do you mean? I said, if the student athletes come to the game the same way they come to school with uniforms on, then how quick will you, a law enforcement won't be able to identify who's who and who's what? It was all Memphis. Did nobody want to deal with that? No. They ought to be able to wear what they want to. I said, wait a minute now. You come to school free. Hell, you can buy a uniform. You eat lunch free. Presentations free. Textbooks free. I mean, what are you saying? Now everybody beginning to look back and say, you know what? That did have some merit behind it. Because what you're doing is, even though, just by what Daryl said, you're going to have parents that are just simply not parents. They are biological donators, hate to say it. And some of them are forced to be that only and depend on the school because they have to work, and most of them are single parents. I've seen all that. But responsibility starts and continues with the system. So the system got to be the parents, too. Put them in them uniforms and let them know if you don't come to the game with uniform on, hey, and you don't have your ID, et cetera, maybe put a little bit more weight, but you provided safety. Now, let me say this. I don't think the problem is as big as the media has blown it out to be. I think the plan of action is the issue. What do we do when there's a weather forecast or storm? We got a plan in place, right? Am I right?
Yes, we have a plan. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So why don't we have a plan in place for athletic events and advertise it, bear with me, Daryl, on halftime, along with the game, meaning that this will be enforced. When people start continuing to hear that, the thought process changed. I think what has done with all three areas, everybody is more geared on worrying about the revenue and what's coming through those gates and not worrying about what's going to happen or can happen. And it has caught up with everybody. Especially, the bigger the headache, the bigger the pain. You go to the professionals, you're going to get the revenue. Let me go back to what my sister just said about Ohio State. Don't nobody care nothing about what happens with the coach of Ohio State. That what they care about getting him back on that field so they can keep them their revenue up because what they paying him. It has gone into a business aspect. And I can see it at the other level. But we got to protect our kids, as Daryl said, in high school. So we got to let them know that even though you still are a student, and the only way that you're going to be identified as a student, you got to put their ass in uniform. You got to find some kind of way to identify them and protect them. Because the law enforcement is going to see that and say, that's a student. And you see somebody don't have that on? And let you know right then what? They're not one. That's one you better be keeping an eye on. So it's one of those situations where you've gotten away from taking the best interest of the total game and looking at the interest of the revenue. And that's just the way it is. I think
I want to echo that. I want to echo that. And I want to thank you.
Yes, sir?
I want to echo that. And I want to say that spot on. And those things are affecting how the outcome of these games are coming out in terms of violence. When you are putting money ahead, when you're putting money ahead of everything else, something is going to go lacking. So you need to have a balance being struck immediately, so that you still can make the revenue, but we're going to make the revenue sensibly and safely. I appreciate you guys tonight. I got to jump off. I got to get in my studio, but it's been a great talk show. Talk to you guys soon.
And thank you, Daryl. Thank you. Thank you very much. And just kind of just piggyback off that, what each and every one of our co-hosts and guests have said is that we have to address the problem with a solution instead of allowing it to be perpetuated through the media and not do anything about it. On our Talking Real to You, all we talked, we stated that we got to have solutions for the violence that we're having in our community. But the violence in our community began to spread, spill over to our high school events. And it's getting to a point where it's not a state event anymore. But you got to have some measurements in place, and you got to follow each and every one of those measurements so we can be successful. So we're going to kind of look forward at things being happening in our district, our state, and our national, any kind of level we have to deal with these situations. We're getting a little feedback somewhere on one of the phones, but, you know, just try to make sure we address our problems with solutions instead of harping a whole lot of time on the problem. We're going to move to the next topic, and that topic is in regards to Nick Saban. Was Nick Saban being salty? Remember, angry, whatever you want to call it, with the sideline reporter, Maria Taylor. Was that a good move? And I know it's been talked about, but we hadn't talked about it. Share your thoughts on that.
Well, I thought that most of the time he is softer. This wasn't the first time. He's often real short when asked questions about Alabama and the program or about the job he's doing or what he's doing with the quarterback situation there. I thought it was uncalled for, and I'm glad that he did call to apologize to her. She was doing her job as a sports person, journalist, and the same way he's doing his job in coaching, he needs to be able to respect. And I don't think that that had been a male, would he have reacted the same way? I don't think so. And but I'm glad to know that he did call to apologize to her. And as Stephen A. says on his show, that if it had been Paul Feinman, would he have reacted that way with him questioning? And the thing is, she was just asking an open-ended question, and it was not an indictment on anyone. But you have a school that's playing, got two quarterbacks and very qualified quarterbacks. What are you doing?
Good. Awesome, awesome. Something else.
I looked at that as Nick being Nick. No offense to my sister, just got to talking. It wouldn't matter had it been a little boy, a little girl, a black boy or a black girl. Nick was already at the point of, if anybody asked me anything about them damn quarterbacks, I'm going to shut them up. It didn't matter. It really didn't matter. I'm going to defend him on that because that's just the way he is. Now, I also agree with my sister just said that it's an obvious quarterback controversy. And so when the media come in to ask questions, they got to be on the topic of interest. Now, Saban, you created that when you pulled that boy out of the game and won the state and won the national championship, what, last year? So it started then. Am I right?
And he also didn't talk to him. You know, kind of ignored him most of the summer. So yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. So what Maria was doing was she was addressing the situation that was on the biggest stage going in, and also looked like it had been solved at the end anyway. And she was very respectful about that. You know, I kind of like the fact that. Paul said something that made a lot of sense. Paul Feinbaum said that Taylor had a very legitimate question, and she's an outstanding reporter, and she asked the question in a very non-threatening way. Paul Feinbaum said it was not contentious at all. Nick was just had his game face on and was prepared for whoever. But he was totally classless. Feinbaum also said that he's not God and he does not rule the world. He's just a football coach at the University of Alabama. He concluded by saying he might be the best coach in college football and the best coach of all time. But when he continues to treat people like that, that's when he loses. That's what I like about Feinbaum. He called it like a referee. He called it like he sees it.
He calls it like he sees it.
Exactly. And it's just a situation. Everybody can look at rose-colored glasses for those individuals that support Alabama. I like Alabama. I support Alabama. My son went to Alabama. But I also know when you're wrong, you're wrong. No matter how if you weren't wrong, you wouldn't come back and apologize. But it's like a runaway train, and the media can drive you to that point no matter if you Nick Saban or Urban Meyer. Calls Urban Meyer to lie, and it calls Nick Saban to get upset. What you have to do is address it, or either don't address it, but make sure you're not salty toward those individuals. And Maria Taylor was only doing her job, and I had a conversation with several people, and they holler about, well, Nick Saban can do this because, no, he can't do that. He has to respect that person. And one of the things that was in the media today was that Miss Terry told him he needed to apologize. It had to take his wife to tell him to apologize, whether it was Maria or anybody. That's a question I ask. All you can solve this problem that you created by saying that I have made my decision. This person is the person I'm going with, and if the other person decides to leave, deal with that. Because I'm gonna tell you, some backlash has already started with this, and I'm gonna give y'all something just to think about. On recruiting trail, there's two things being used against the University of Alabama. I know everybody's gonna say, well, they ranked number one again and again, but you know, there's two things that used to with young men now. I got this from a high school coach. These coaches from other places close by are saying Nick Saban is 66 years old. In 4 years or 5 years, he'll be 70. Will he be around? The next thing is, if he treat a man like a young man like Tua, I mean, not Tua, but Jalen like he did, what would he do with
Jalen Hurts?
Yeah. What will he do with you? I'm telling you, other colleges are using that. And you can say he can overshadow it, but he can't overshadow that age now. He can overshadow this situation, Jalen and Tua, but that age ain't gonna ever, it's gonna create problems for him. That's something that's going on the recruiting. It's Nick, and Nick a little upset about that because some of his closest people have done that to him, and he expected him to do that. So that's why he's a little salty about the situation. But he did put in that situation. So, you know, it's a topic we can continue to talk about it. He had apologized. Maria is comfortable. She was on the show earlier, and she said he apologized to her, but she was doing her job. She didn't think nothing about it. So we're going to move forward. Any other thoughts on that? And then if not, we're going to be ready to kind of,
you know,
have to close this show out. Wait up.
Hello?
What we're on right here.
Okay.
What we're on here now is a very interesting topic, and I think our listeners can appreciate us respectively talking about this. You know, Nick Saban started off in answering that question very respectfully because he wanted to entertain questions that dealt with his – well, he's using reverse tactics, really. He's trying to get away from it. And him trying to get away from it, he wanted to make sure that he didn't disrespect either player. Well, he's saying, well, I didn't disrespect either player, but heck, I played both of them. So didn't you see who's the best? Well, that's besides the point. Here's what you got to look at. Saban should have given a decent answer. He's the highest-paid public employee in Alabama and one of the most powerful football coaches in America, and he should take the high road. Now, he should never put himself in a petty situation to intimidate his reporter, whether it's male, Caucasian, or whatever, at the expense of him being who he is. And I close. And I got this quote from a source. Right, he said this. If you are going to take the high road, then take the Bill Belichick road. That's it.
Hey, no. That's it. Awesome. And that's the way Coach Elwood is trying to get in there. Coach Elwood, come on in and join us right quick, Coach Elwood. Jump in there. Share your thoughts on it, Coach Elwood.
Y'all already know where I'm finna go with it. I feel exactly like you said. The media plays both ways, and that situation is touchy to Nick. I'm gonna say that and be through with it. He really doesn't want to. He made it
that way though.
Star Wars. You talk with no interruption. You talk with no interruption.
I ain't say that.
Hey, appreciate you. Dr. Smith, I let him talk with no interruption, right? No interruption.
Go ahead, Coach Elwood. Go ahead, Coach Elwood.
Okay.
Your
like Nick Saban said, that question has been addressed since Media Day this summer about that quarterback situation. Honestly, I'm at the point now, I feel like if Jalen wasn't a black male, I don't think this would be an issue. I think it's an issue now with us because he's a black male and being replaced. I think that's the issue. I don't think it has nothing to do with the quarterback position because we see who is the better quarterback, and I understand you have won 26 games, but the fact of the matter is you are not the better quarterback, point blank. The issue is bigger than what it's made of right now. I hear Alabama fans, I hope they lose with Tua. I hope they lose with Tua. I mean, he's the better quarterback. Tua is not forcing the issue on that situation. He's just playing ball. And as we seen Saturday night, Tua is the better quarterback. I don't understand the issue with this situation. Like I said, if Jalen Hurts was a Caucasian male, there wouldn't be a problem with this. I feel like the only situation, the reason why it's going on like this is because Jalen Hurts is a black male at Alabama University. That's where I think the problem holds at.
And to a sense, I would agree, but also if he was a white, I'm going to just say he wasn't a black male, he wouldn't have this problem because they would be more or less supporting that University of Alabama, that white male. So I don't think they would go with the best player because they had had that situation in the past. So I just think the situation – I think the situation was made that everybody's a little salty about it. Go ahead on, Coach. Go ahead on, Coach. And we're going to get ready to wrap it up.
I want to share this. Didn't Jalen send two quarterbacks packing just a year or two ago?
Exactly.
And one of them was white and one was black.
No, sir.
Right?
They all three of them was white.
Both.
Three
of them were Caucasian. That's right.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Right. So quarterback situation is just like one of the quarterbacks. And Dr. Smith, you probably heard this the other day too, when it was speaking with one of the former quarterback at Alabama and said, "Listen, it has always been a quarterback situation at Alabama because the quarterback takes the most heat." He said, "Now, hey, it's just one of those that created a little bit more of a tension because of the fact that when the issue was resolved in the what greatest stage there is, the national championship game. So you know, it is what it is. I kind of sympathize with Nick to a certain extent because it can be a little bit annoying to keep hearing the same thing over and over, and you're trying to coach your team.
Exactly.
You know, so,
exactly.
Yeah. So we can move forward because we can talk about this all day and all night long. But the bottom line is, Nick gonna be Nick. I don't care who knows what. He's gonna be Nick.
Exactly. He's going to do what Nick wants to do, and he's going to move forward as well as we're going to do. Now, we're down to the last few minutes of the show. We're ready to close it out, and I want each and every one of you all, including our special guests, to share their thoughts about wrapping this up. I want to say good night to each and every one of our listeners, and I'll start with the lady of the hour that's joining us. Not taking the place of the millennium, but here to join the hour. Thank you. Scarlett Black, can you just... just some last words for us.
Oh, well, thank you. And again, I enjoyed the show. You guys, you tickle me. I can't do anything but laugh. I get a lot of joy out of listening to the back and forth and the kiki and the ha-ha. But I want you to know that I had a good record this past weekend. Auburn won. Didn't mention Notre Dame, but Notre Dame won. Somebody was rooting for Washington State. They didn't win. And again, my heart goes out to Coach Lauren, and I hope that she continues to improve. And to you, Dr. Smith, I hope that you all will continue to celebrate your anniversary throughout the year because this has really been awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Wrap it up, team.
Yeah, I dive in.
Okay.
Big night, man. Good night. Good topics. Y'all have a good night with it. Hey, and them playing UNA, man. You know I be texting you. Star Wars. Y'all was looking for them texts. I ain't have to send them. I send them to Dr. Smith. That everything in that goose head at the back end of it. So
all
right. We got a big one this weekend, man, and I'll be texting y'all, man. Hey, Star Wars, I'm going to leave you with this. It's in my blood. I ain't going to lie. I'm a bad, bad bulldog. To the day I die. Y'all have a good night, man.
I'm trying to eat off the air because I've been asked not to be so hard on certain folks. But see, somebody just picking at me now. But I'm going to let that go. Again, thank you so much for allowing me to be back on this show. I did take a little absence for a while. And I hope that we've said some things very respectfully to entertain our listeners tonight in regards to understanding coaches, understanding universities, understanding why some things are the way they are, and hoping things will get better, especially in our sports world when it comes to safety. Again, to the millennia, sweetheart, may God bless you. Have a speedy recovery. And as I always say, have a nice day. You take the day, and don't let the day take you.
And awesome, awesome. We thank each and every one of our co-hosts, as well as Darryl, who was able had to leave a little early and go to his other show. So we know he's the hardest working man, and he is. Well, they said the Don King of entertainment. That's Darryl Utrain Elliott. And as for our millennial, who's at home, resting well. And I'm going to check on her in a little while. Like I said earlier, you know, had a surgery, took about 4 hours, but they did an awesome job to get her ready. She's in a little pain. She was just under medication, used words she probably ain't used most time. But she was all ready to go when she got in the car, so. You know, our prayers is for her, and we want her back here, speedy recovery. But I always want y'all to understand, you know, we hashtag keep on grinding. Then we come on and say hashtag the Smith way. This is the way we do it. We do it as a team and as a family. And these are my co-hosts can attest to that. But I always want to tell everybody it's time to leave this place. But when we leave this place, we're going to say something that God would always do for us. And he we'll do it so we can understand and appreciate it. And this song is definitely out so everybody can understand. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? I love you. It ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome night.
of times.